Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. Coming up this week, Disney dominates the box office and announces more plans for new Marvel films. Some new changes are coming to Mickey's not-so-scary Halloween party. And our discussion this week is very simple. Why are you a Disney fan? Plus, we're going to introduce you to the newest member of the team. All that coming up next. From the Bob Varley Studio in Orlando, Florida, this is the Diz Unplugged. This is the Diz Unplugged, episode 1043 for the week of July 23rd, 2019. The Diz Unplugged is brought to you by Dreams Unlimited Travel, experts at helping you plan the perfect Disney vacation. Visit them on the web at www.dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. And by DizBoards.com. Join the millions of Disney fans who have planned their vacation on the Diz forums with information on theme parks, dining, resorts, and much more. Head over to DizBoards.com and join in the discussion. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show, coming to you live from the Bob Varley Studio in Orlando, Florida. I'm your host, Pete Werner, joined at the table this week by my good friends, Mr. Sean Falk.
Hi.
Steve Porter.
Hello.
Denny Sunderly.
Hi there.
Corey Martin.
I'm just happy to be here.
Back in the production nook, our associate producer, Mr. Rhino Clavin.
Hello.
And our producer, Mr. Craig Williams.
Hi.
And hanging out over in the corner is today's designated dog nanny, Fiasco, because he is waiting to take this precious little baby. This is Dolly, my new 10-week-old golden retriever. Thought she should make her debut this week and introduce all of you to her. Oh, and she's tired because she's been having a big puppy day. Just got her last week. I've been thinking about it for a while. I thought it was time. Abby needed a sister, and they have been getting along awesome. I'm really happy with how that's been going. She's actually heading out to puppy boot camp for 2 weeks tomorrow. Abby was a little bit older when I did that with her, but I decided to get like right on it with her. But she's really good. She's a little crap machine, but you know, 10-week-old puppy, that's what you're going to get. But she's awesome. I'm going to let Fiasco take her back. Just wanted to show everybody my new baby.
Bye. Bye, darling.
And welcome you guys. Thanks for joining us. Hope your week is off to a good start. We do have a couple of things to mention in housekeeping. First, I want to just let everybody know that August 6th, we will not have a show, either a Disneyland show or a Disney World show. That week is our Dreams Unlimited Travel 20th anniversary event, and the team is going to be very busy that week getting ready and doing things and all very, very excited. I still don't know where the hell I'm supposed to be and when, but that's not anything unusual. Also, Magic Candle Company wanted me to mention they have a new candle that they just released called Terror Tower, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I got to say, when I first read the description of the fragrance and I saw patchouli, I was like, ugh. This is a great candle. This is a great candle. I'm really loving this candle. It's one of my new favorites. So they wanted me to mention that. MagicCandleCompany.com. Code Disney Info saves you 15% and helps support the show. So it's a
win-win.
It's a win-win. And also, Steve, you wanted to mention something about a Give Kids the World event that's coming up.
Yes, they are hosting another speaker series. All proceeds go to Give Kids the World. It's going to be with Paige O'Hara and Linda Larkin, voices of Belle and Jasmine from classic Disney animated films. It's going to be on August 3rd from 5:30 to 8:30. Depends. You're going to have to check out their website because the timing of when you should arrive depends on what ticket you purchase. So check that out at...
Because there's like a VIP ticket.
Yes, right? There's a VIP ticket in which you can meet both of the princesses, so that's pretty cool. It's at www.gktw.org/princess. Tickets range in price from $35 to $150. That $150 is for the meet and greet. Again, all proceeds go to Give Kids a World. So.
I'm assuming that last one was very successful, if they're doing another one, right?
Yeah.
I see this being a continuous thing.
I hope so. I know they had reached out to us because they needed help selling some of these tickets, and you guys stepped up and delivered the goods, and we had over 100 people there, I believe.
Yeah, it was like 125, and they had a couple that showed up just right at the door and said, hey, can we get in? We're willing to pay. And so I think they had 125 tickets sold and then extra bonus people.
You know, obviously, this is to support Give Kids the World. If you are going to be in town for August 3rd, great opportunity to meet two Disney legends that I think these will sell fast.
Yeah, much faster, I think, than the last one. The last one did very well. Apparently, the guys there that spoke had a lot of cool stuff to say about their experiences with Walt. But, I mean, you can't beat Disney Princesses. I think people are going to be really excited about this. So be sure, if you want to get them, they might go a lot faster than the last one. So, you know, check it out.
Those are the best stories, hearing stories from people that actually knew Walt and talked to him and worked with him.
Yeah.
Those are the best stories to hear.
Well, and, I mean, sadly, there's only so many of those people left, too.
Yeah.
So, you know.
But this, you know, like you said, an opportunity to meet
Disney princesses,
and to help Give Kids the World, and you know, you're talking about the cheapest ticket being $35. Can't beat that with a stick. So show your support for Give Kids the World, gktw.org, as in givekidstheworld.org /princess. Princess or princesses? Princess.
Let me double check. It's princess.
Princess. Dream big, princess. help them out. So, and of course, John and Kevin are on our Adventures by Disney San Francisco Backstage Magic trip. I was supposed to be, but I have been dealing with some pretty bad back issues. Was not able to travel. It's much better now. And thank you everybody for reaching out to send well wishes. I'm fine, except when my back is out. And there were like 3 days where it was pretty much I was just in bed. That it was just
miserable.
Not... couldn't do anything. Mm-hmm. As soon as my back started feeling better, I go out and get a puppy.
To bend over and clean up puppy poop.
Well, fortunately, I have a new roommate, Cody, and Cody's been a big help with that. The last couple days has been fun. I've got my full range of motion back, thank God. But anything else in housekeeping?
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Okay.
You go ahead.
Last week on the show, I had said that, you know, we'd created a new page. We have our DVC fan page, and then we have a sub shoot off there of DVC fan canceled reservations. So that forum is still there. It's available for people to let others know that they're about to cancel their DVC vacation that they have planned, so someone else might be able to scoop it up before it goes back into the Disney pool.
Where is this at?
On Facebook.
It's on Facebook.
On Facebook,
yeah.
Okay.
We had the link last week. I'll get to you again if you need it. So that is not a place to try to sell your Disney vacation, but if you would like to sell it, you're more than welcome to email me directly at sean.falk@disneyinfo.com, sean.falk, and I can help direct you into the right place to do that, because we've had some issues there.
Yeah,
so you just can't sell it. There's no way for me to like make sure that someone pays you for what you're trying to sell. So, but I can get you to the right channels if you want to sell, rent out your points, and sell your vacation that you have planned. So,
cool. So cool.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, about 400, 500 people in that now.
Yeah.
So cool. All right, Ryan, did you have something?
Yes. I want to say thank you to the listener, viewer, person that mailed Pete and myself some fleece blanket.
Oh, yeah, it was Pat and Fox. I'm sorry. Pat Fox, yeah.
Yeah, he sent me a corgi blanket, and I was wrapped up in it for most of
the
until we get started.
Thanks for my gift, Pat. Thanks for my gift. Really appreciate it.
Nobody cares about you. sent me the coolest, like, because... he noticed that, or she noticed that I was wearing that. Can I talk?
No, yeah, go ahead.
that jacket I got in Tokyo Disneyland.
Oh, right,
jacket.
Right. Yeah.
So a scarf and a fleece blanket with this Mickey Mouse material. It's gorgeous. Flannel on the inside and the Mickey Mouse on the outside.
Oh,
I should have brought
so
it in.
Sweet.
It's really, really cool. So thank you. Thank you very, very much for that. It was a very sweet gift.
Yeah, and then I just have one other thing I wanted to mention because I talked about it last week. We did officially, as of today, have introduced a new tier on our Patreon site, patreon.com/disunplugged. And on there, there is now a $5 tier where you can sign up and you will receive access to the Patreon-exclusive audio-only shows that really any person can make if they want, if they end up choosing wanting to do that at all on the team. But what you're guaranteed for is at least one show by me a month, which, like, let's be honest, it's going to be more than that. But I'm just saying bare minimum, you know. And that I already made one, too, and I actually put it out to anybody that is a Patreon supporter so that you could sample it and see if it's something that you're interested in or not, or you want to stay where you are. My God.
We are dropping stuff like crazy.
Whatever tier you're in, you receive access to anything below that tier. So if you're in the $10 tier already for Pete's solo show, because that's where that is, that's anybody else in the team will be right below Pete, right on that other tier. But if you're in Pete's tier, you'll get this access already. So you don't have to like sign up for a $5 tier too. It's just if anybody's in like the $1 or $3 level area and you're thinking like, oh, I could do $2 more a month to listen to this idiot talk a little bit more, that's where this idiot will be, $5 tier. But so check it out.
Can you repeat that?
No. I couldn't even if I tried. Yes, yeah. So that's that. Patreon.com/disunplugged. Check it out. Validate me. Validate my existence. Thank you.
isn't that what Instagram is for?
Yeah.
Well, true. Yeah. That's just for my looks. This is for my voice.
I've never seen an Instagram account that had so many selfies on it. Single picture.
It's very entertaining.
I have tried the scenic shots, and they just don't do as well. People want to see my business in
There's
it. My face, not my business.
Yeah, see your business.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't think Instagram allowed that.
Okay. Wow, that went south fast.
Let's blur that.
All right. Anything else? Anything else in housekeeping? Craig, nothing from you?
Got nothing.
I like your haircut, Craig.
Was I supposed to say something?
No.
I got nothing.
You're just kind of back there.
Oh yeah, no, I'm
working.
Yeah. I was going to shave my head, but I have a feeling like
Craig's very active. Yeah. Craig's very active in the chat room when we're doing this, so he's monitoring what's going on in chat. I'm just looking to make sure because Corey's also got it up on his screen.
Yeah, we have 1,800 right now, 1,835. So, people are dropping off like flies.
Okay,
oh dear.
All right, so let's talk about the news. Not a big news week, unless you're into Disney movies.
I am.
Yay!
And so Lion King, the live-action Lion King, $185 million opening weekend. This is just the latest in a string of, I think the only misfire the studio has had this year has been Dumbo, technically speaking. By comparison, everything else has done incredibly well. So Lion King, I haven't seen it yet. Has anyone here seen it?
Yeah, I've seen it, and Craig saw it too. But
okay, did you so see it everything
I haven't
that,
seen it yet. Mm-mm.
Like no. What I'm hearing is that the critics hate it,
right?
But the audiences love it.
Yep.
Rotten Tomatoes, it was at 55% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is not great, but it was an 83% audience score.
I saw 89.
Or 89. Well,
yeah, that's wonderful.
I did hear the soundtrack because I was interested in that before because I like saw the CGI animation. I mean, they kept selling live action, but there's no live animals in this movie. But
wait,
they,
what?
Yeah,
John West.
I know. I don't want to spoil it for anybody. But and then there was a lot of people talking online about like people not posting spoilers as if they didn't see the movie 25 years.
Well,
ago.
Well, this is the criticism. The big criticism is that it is basically a shot by shot recreation of the animated feature that they really didn't take any license with it, is what I've been hearing.
Well,
I haven't seen
it. I'm fine with that, though. Like, yeah. If it's a live action, shouldn't it be based on the original?
Well, would you like to hear from the people who've seen it?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Okay, yeah, I'm just...
The last time...
Listen, talk to the critics.
Welcome to Critics Corner. No, but I text Craig, won't tell me anything about a movie before I see it, and he saw it before I did. And so when I told him I was done, I was like, you'll be surprised to hear this, but I actually really enjoyed this one quite a bit. And it is a shot-for-shot remake with slight deviations from the original thing, but I went into it right when it opens, and we saw this trailer for this, the opening scene, 2 years ago at the last E23, so it was really cool to see the evolution of this movie. But I took it as this is the Disney nature version of the Lion King. So this is Lion King told with like how are these animals move, how do they react, and and whatnot. But I also this is part of my episode on that.
This is true Siskel and Ebert right now.
You can hear me talk about it.
It's more Men on Film.
Men on Film.
What did you think?
I really enjoyed it. Kylie and I went, and we like. The Lion King, for me, that's my Renaissance movie.
Yeah.
Everyone of our age, like Rhino, myself, Steve, Sean, you know, that was our period in Disney movie. So I feel like everyone has a different one. Like, I feel like my sister's is probably Little Mermaid. Mine's Lion King for sure. So I've been looking forward to this for years. And I will say I listened to the soundtrack first. And I wasn't disappointed, but I learned to manage my expectations then. But that being said, then once I saw it in the context of the movie, I thought like all of the choices they made for the voice actors was pretty much spot on, and it fit well. The only one I did not care for Chiwetel Ejiofor as Scar. I just felt like he wasn't menacing enough for me. I mean, Jeremy Irons just like he set the bar
high on that.
Yeah.
That's why like. I wish they could have brought him back for it the same way, like, James Earl Jones set the bar for Mufasa. You can't replace him as Mufasa, so they bring him back. I feel like Jeremy Irons should have been the other added example to that, but I wasn't bothered by any of the issues with the emotionless face on characters. I mean, it's trying to be realistic. If a lion starts smiling to me on screen that looks realistic, I'm going to start worrying about what drugs they were on when they were making this movie.
They did a lot with body language. So that's the thing. They react the way an animal reacts while they're talking. You know, they nuzzle the head. They do whatever. It's like
the only other things I really had were minor. Like the Beyonce song Spirit, I think is what it's called. Like it's inserted into such a weird moment that was like one of my favorite moments in the animated one. Yeah. It just perfect Hans Zimmer score already, and they're like, oh, we're just going to remove it, and all of a sudden Beyonce is going to come on and just start like, whoa.
Yeah, I'm not a Beyonce fan. I know. People hate me, but I just...
it was weird, but, you know, they added... Of course, they didn't add anything to the story.
That rendition to Craig's album.
they didn't add anything. They slightly did... change like
Timon and
a couple
dialogue is different.
Yeah, stuff, Timon and Pumbaa are different. Billy Eichner, in my opinion, steals the show. If you don't already know him from Parks and Rec, Billy on the Street, American Horror Story, anything that he's done, he's
hilarious.
Like, he is so good. And then they added these like really delicate, beautiful moments. Like right in the beginning, they added this sequence where it's like a 30-second tracking shot of a mouse that. You know, if you know the animated one, Scar eventually traps, but it's set to this new Hans Zimmer score in there that's just like, it's like, oh my God, they really want this to look like a nature documentary. It's not for everyone. I enjoyed it.
Go ahead.
Well, one thing you said about the casting of Scar, that I felt the same way about the villain in Aladdin. I don't think they casted Jafar properly. He wasn't as evil enough, and so I wonder if they're having a hard time casting the villains.
The hard part is that Chiwetel Ejiofor, his is one of the only parts, and it wasn't even like, oh, I hated it or anything. I didn't mind his voice as Scar. It was the Be Prepared, which is one of my favorite numbers in the original, that he doesn't really sing it, and I was okay with that, but then randomly the last two the last word on the last two sentences, he does sing, so it was like they were trying to tiptoe into it, and I was like, I wish you had just done it as a speech, because there was this really cool welling thing. And that's one of the things that I think some people need to understand. Like, those visuals work great in an animated form where, you know, remember he's like walking and there's all that like green smoke that's going off, and all the hyenas are marching, and it this plays out in a much different way. And it's I thought it was really interesting. The visuals are mind-blowingly good. Like, that you at any point, there are moments where I was like, this has got to be a real cat here at some point, right? But except for, you know, they're not. because there was a lot of choice camera shots where they're very low to the ground behind or under some of the animals, and you're like, oh, these are Barbie doll cats.
Yeah.
They don't got no parts.
Now, have you seen it?
I not seen Lion King, no. I did have a general question for y'all, because I mean, ever since I like the idea of the remakes, and I think some people forget, like, they made like remade like Cinderella and stuff like several years back. I just don't think it's like lumped into the new. So this has been going on a little bit, but I don't like when they put too familiar of voices in these character renditions. Like, I couldn't watch Moana without thinking that's The Rock. Like, I never saw it as a character except The Rock. So, like, with characters like Beyonce, was it just like, this is Beyonce I'm watching?
They were actually the only two I struggled with was Beyonce as Nala and Donald Glover as Simba were the only two voices in the movie where I was kind of like, I didn't hate them, but they didn't, I felt like in a, where like John Oliver as Zazu was fantastic, Billy Eichner as Timon, and Seth Rogen as Pumbaa, they kind of all worked with the embodiment of their animals and that thing. I felt like theirs were just kind of a little middle of the road.
Well, the thing that we talked about, I'll keep it short here, I think it was that we have to remember that for a lot of the audience, I know there is a heavy adult audience, but for all the kids out there watching like we were, you know, I may have seen Ferris Bueller when Lion King came out, but I didn't put together that it was Matthew Broderick's voice. You know, I knew James Earl Jones because of Star Wars, and I would have known JTT from Home Improvement. Mm-hmm. And beyond that, the rest of these voices, even though they're huge people like Nathan Lane, Jeremy Irons, I was a kid. Why should I know them? So that's the one weird aspect about growing up is now that we all these voices instantly stand out to us. You have to remember the kids that are seeing it. They don't.
Well, quick question: it's a yes or no. Like, should people like for the younger generation that maybe have not seen it, should they watch the animated version before they see this, or does it even matter?
It doesn't matter.
No,
doesn't
I would matter. Actually okay. say don't rewatch it until after.
Okay.
All right. So. That's cool. 185 million opening weekend in the United States. Worldwide, $531 million over the weekend for this film. Going to go north of $1 billion easily. That goes without saying. But the other big story, Avengers Endgame becoming the most successful box office film in history, beating Avatar, not adjusted for inflation. So when you consider that it's not adjusted for inflation, it's just dollar for dollar, it's well ahead of Avatar now at where's the number?
Well, and a note on that too, as I just want to point out, this took about 70 days, a little over 70 days to happen. Avatar took 263 days to get to where it went. So amazing. Not only is this the highest grossing, it's also the fastest.
All right,
to get
our
there.
Story doesn't have I'm looking at you. Doesn't have the actual number. It says that Endgame was 500,000 behind Avatar's 2.789.7 billion in box office sales, but now has surpassed it.
When it passed it, it was an estimated number that it had passed, so it that day. They didn't have the actual number yet.
Okay. All right. So 2.8 billion, it has beaten Avatar.
Well, I think with that stuff and that kind of harkens with like what was going on with Lion King as well. It kind of goes back to when they when Tim Burton did Alice in Wonderland, and not the first one, not the second one, but that movie, I mean, grossed over $1 billion, and for the longest stretch, like, that was one of the top like five grossing movies or 10 or whatever. And I think most people went to see that Alice in Wonderland Tim Burton collaboration for the intrigue of like, what is this and what's it going to be? And so I think that's kind of propelled Lion King even more so, because they did it in such a different format than what it was originally. I was interested because I'm like, you know, it's a unique thing, whereas I think that was how it was with Avatar as well. I think the graphics and the
it was cutting edge.
The CGI, oh my god, was like the greatest thing ever at the time. And so I think it speaks more to Avengers because it's been like a slow build or a quick build up, but an overall time lapse build up to be like, this was a successful series compared to Avatar that I think most people watch just to see the CGI animation.
I do have the number too. It is 2,790,591,417 in release for 87 days so far. So yeah, I also, it should be noted that Aladdin is about to go to a billion, and so isn't Spider-Man. So, and if you're saying that Lion King, they said Lion King as well. So that's three, not including Spider-Man. There was another movie. I can't remember right now. About to be $3 billion movies this year.
So, you know, it's one story after another with Disney, where films are concerned, about success, success, success. Of course, we see that translated into the theme parks in terms of IP put in the parks. Mm-hmm. But we also know, if we're students of history, we also know that eventually, this run is going to end, right? Bob Iger's going to move on. Bob Iger's going to be out in the next 2 years. And let's be honest, this whole thing has been orchestrated by him. The acquisition of Lucasfilm, the acquisition of Marvel, absolutely, the acquisition of Pixar, all orchestrated by Bob Iger with an eye on doing exactly what he's doing. When does Disney fall off, movie people? When does Disney fall off a cliff with the films?
Well, I already read this thing where they were saying like this will be a big year because they're, you know, then we also have the last of the Skywalker Star Wars movies at the end of this year, but then the box office as a whole, not just Disney, is going to have a slump next year. And this year is actually behind last year, even though we have had these record-breaking movies so far. It is behind last year, but it by the end of the year, I think it will be ahead, but. Is that next year there's no Star Wars plans that have immediately been announced yet, but either way we know there's no Star Wars movie next year. It's a little bit lighter in terms of the movie theater when it comes to the Marvel movies. There's only the two that have been announced so far, and I think that next year and maybe the year after, it'll, now with this Disney Plus streaming service, I think there, I don't know anything else that's coming out next year from Disney that isn't that those two Marvel movies. I don't know what else is coming out, and if they're just a Mulan, but
Artemis
like,
Fowl.
Artemis Fowl is the other one, but there's nothing original that's coming out. These are all, they're relying very heavily on franchises and remakes, and like what happens when that bubble breaks, but it's gonna happen eventually, you know.
Well, I think speaking on it, like we even talk about the Disney Renaissance and how great that was, but even then it started hitting the Hunchback of Notre Dame slump area, which I love that movie, but obviously that's not as big
Lion
as
Lion King,
King
right? Lion
stuff.
King was the pinnacle,
right?
And then after that, it started to slide,
right? And even then, it went down through that period of like Meet the Robinsons, Chicken Little, that kind of stuff that we forget existed. Home on the Range was in there. So that's not until it really started, even like Princess and the Frog didn't do that well compared to what they had hoped. So you kind of hit Tangled and Frozen and it came back up. And so I think that's why we're getting so many remakes, is like when they tried to hit these things like Home on the Range and Chicken Little that were really expounded stories on like a minor thing or just a whole new creation, people really didn't go see it. I mean, even now people like Lilo and Stitch, but it didn't do that amazingly well when it first came out.
Right.
So, you know, people aren't going to see new things when they create them.
So
they complain that they're not making new things.
Because the head of Pixar, I forgot, Doctor. Yeah, has announced or said, I've read recently that he's planning on Pixar not having a sequel like in the works for a little while. Like they want to do all originals.
Well, that's one studio that's gotten away with being able to do original stories and do really, really well. Mm-hmm. But at San Diego Comic-Con over the weekend, they announced, which I'm surprised that they decided to use Comic-Con to announce this. This is one of the reasons they created D23, was specifically to be able to make these announcements. But a whole slew of new Marvel films. The Eternals, I have no idea what that is, so I'll look to the geeks in the back. Is going to star Angelina Jolie, Richard Madden, somebody else whose name I can't pronounce.
I forgot his last
Nanjiani.
Name. Nanjiani.
Okay, yeah. Him. And
from Silicon Valley.
This is, right.
You know, yeah.
November 2020, that's going to be coming out. The Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
Coming out in the fall of 2020. Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. I don't know any of these.
That story is actually, for anybody that wants to know, fun fact here. The Ten Rings are what the Mandarin is wearing in Iron Man 3, and the fake Mandarin, and the real Mandarin is going to be the villain in this one. And they alluded to this like 10 years ago, or not maybe like 6 or 7, but whenever Iron Man 3 came out, they did a like one shot. So this is gonna, these are still rolling into the mythology in the MCU right now.
But we're looking about 9 or 10 films.
Well, 11
films.
Five films, 5 Disney Plus series.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that was the big thing, and they also were saying that, so there's Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, and that's going to be their first horror movie, but that's going to be a team up with the Scarlet Witch, but that will be right after she has her own Disney Plus show, which is WandaVision, and they said that all of these shows that they've announced, they're going to directly impact and tie in with the movie, so it's going to be like, I think, essential viewing, and I think they're treating them like they're just long-form movies.
So if you're a Marvel fan, and you're basically going to get cornered into having to get Disney Plus.
I think if you're anybody, yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, smart.
Yeah, they said that. One is going to feed into the other, so, you know, the input and the output, you gotta look at it all.
Okay. So. Like, anybody else doesn't give a crap?
Well, that's the part that I was thinking about the other day, where I was like, if you're not invested in Marvel, and I'm not judging anybody who isn't, that's okay. You don't like superhero movies, that's your thing. Like,
it's not that I don't like them. I do like them, but okay. Okay. Well, I got it. You own Marvel. Can you give me something else?
And that's what I was thinking the other day when they made this announcement. I was like, well, geez, that is 10 massive properties that Disney is very heavily involved in. And then you got like the little bit of Pixar, but where's the Walt Disney live action studio? You know, other than the Maleficent 2, you know, and Mulan, where's something else? Where's a new animated movie from, you know, animation?
Craig is on the edge of his seat waiting to watch Maleficent 2.
Oh my god.
Boy, sorry. Cannot wait.
All right, now we have to move on. We have to move on because we spent way too much time on that.
No, if you want to hear more, I actually recorded a 45-minute episode that is up on Patreon right now.
All right. Well, okay.
There you go.
So
perfect.
But if you're with me, like I said, not that I don't enjoy the Marvel films, but enough.
Do you think any of that will be announced at D23?
I don't know what they're going to announce at D23, honestly.
There are people wondering, I mean, because they look at the Marvel lineup and they go, okay, so that's Phase 4, but there's still details that we don't know about Phase 4, and so they're thinking maybe D23?
Maybe.
So
maybe
things for everyone.
We'll find out this time next month. All right, now, moving over to the parks. Some new announcements made about some changes coming to Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party this year. Some of them long overdue.
Finally,
changing up the fireworks, moving away from Hallowishes to do an entirely new fireworks show themed around Jack Skellington. Of course, it's going to be heavy on projections and lasers because that's what they do now. And, of course, the character experiences, they're going to – it sounded to me – correct me if I'm wrong. Like last year they did – they had that character walking around inside Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yes.
It sounded like they're going to expand on that this year.
I love that.
Because I thought that was great.
Yeah.
But it sounded in the announcement to me like they were going to expand on that because I believe they used the word characters.
Yes.
And that would be enough to get me to go back. I mean, the last couple of years I've been because, like, we go as work. But before, I always went for my own fun and benefit and stuff. And then I was like, this is the same thing every year, and it gets more crowded. And I'm just, like, getting upset, and, like, people are getting in front of me. And, like, I feel like my, like, tensions are really high there. Well, and that's how things explode and people punch people at Tower of Terror.
I think the more they can get people to ride, so if they can put as many cool experiences in the rides as possible is a good thing, because with how crowded they're getting, like you said, if they can get people on these rides, because typically they have, you know, 5-10 minute waits, but and so everyone is basically just walking around the park, it feels way more crowded because you're not getting sucked up into rides.
Now, what they need to do is they need to sell fewer tickets to these events. These events need to be special.
Yeah.
Now, that may mean you jack the price up a little bit.
Or you have more dates open.
Yeah. But the fact of the matter is, what I've seen these last few years, I was always a proponent of these parties, saying they're worth it. And I think last year or the year before was the first time I had to say, no, it's not worth it. It's too crowded. It's not what was special about that hard ticket event was that it wasn't that crowded. It wasn't insane. It was a special experience. Now, it's the same experience you get in the middle of the day with some candy. Yeah. And a fireworks show.
Yeah. So if a family wants to make that their park day, so if they decide we're going to hang out at the resort, we're going to enjoy the pool, the whole nine yards, and then they make the party their park day, what's your advice?
I still think it's not worth it.
Okay.
I still think it's not worth it for what you would pay to add a day on to your pass versus what you're going to pay. What's the price up to now on...
For the party?
The Halloween party. Isn't it about $85,
$90? I have to look it up. It always goes up. So it's from... What time does it start?
I always go in early, so I never know.
You can get in at 4. It starts at 7. Ends till midnight. Seven.
Ends at 12. Okay.
So you're getting 5 hours, and, you know, we were seeing attraction lines that were no different than they were during the day.
Yeah.
Where you're talking a two-hour wait for Mine Train. You're talking... A 45-minute to an hour wait for Space Mountain.
I think for me the main thing that they'd have a hard time releasing more dates just because that gets like the travel agent side of me like really triggered where I'm like, oh my god, these people who booked 180 days ago and got their dining are gonna like lose their mind. Yep. So I'm like, well, if they put more dates, like people will just go nuts because my actual trip around this.
They need to do it outside the booking window.
Right. So they really can't do that. And then they can go up on the ticket prices, but then everyone freaks out about that too. And to me, I think it'd be a better offer if they had more distinct characters for that exact thing. I mean, some of the 2 years ago, what they didn't have that many characters. I remember the line for Moana was like 3 or 4 hours. It was almost the whole length of the party that long.
We were talking about last year, I think it was last year, that they had a limit on tickets. I think it was about 24,000 or 25,000. And they ended up overselling for like 32,000.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big difference.
Yeah, it is.
That's a big difference. And that's what they were doing. They were overselling the parties. And this is where, and especially when, you know, as a DBC member now, going to the Moonlight Magic events, which are free to DBC members, they limit it to about 4,000 people. It's very hard to get tickets to. And you have the park to yourself. And so you see it's an experience like that, and then you think of, I'm going to pay $90 or $100 to go into Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party, and it's 32,000 people, and there are, you know, it's no different. I'm just going to end up spending the extra money on it for an extra day on my pass and go as normal and save that money.
I was going to say, even with 24,000 people, I mean, the capacity of Magic Kingdom's what, 55,000? I mean,
I think it's closer to like 60.
Well, you're 60. Still almost at half the capacity of normal. I mean, that's like Christmas capacity. Like, we're closing the park because it's Christmas and New Year's. So, like, it is a typical day. If they're selling 32,000 tickets, like, that's way too much. But adding more of those, like, the characters like Pirates of the Caribbean, I've ridden these rides a million times personally. And most people who come every year, they've ridden them a lot. And that gave me just enough of something different and unique for me to be
absolutely.
Like, hey, you know, Pirates that had live actors. I'm like, that was really cool.
I think part of the problem for me is that, you know, we're always there for the first night.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the first night of Halloween, the Halloween party is now in August.
Yesterday.
August 16th.
Yeah. Okay.
So
it's, you know, 8,000 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
You're in this theme park that is jam-packed with people. You can't move. And you have paid $90 for the privilege.
So on Halloween, so the peak pricing non-discounted for an adult is $135.
Jesus.
With tax, it's $143.78.
And what's the cheapest?
I'm finding like on a Monday in September, $79 for an adult. That's non-discounted.
Have you been on Halloween before?
Well, no, we're not on Halloween. But I got to say, hearkening back to something you guys were saying earlier with adding different and new things. I mean, I got on Space Mountain, which was my least favorite attraction of all of them. Got on it with my husband because, hello, they've turned off all lights and they're playing rock and roll music. So yeah, you got to go ride that ride, and it was really cool. And then all the new snacks that they've added the past couple of years, that's huge. I mean, for somebody who's a who loves special snacks. I mean, it's fun to go and go, oh, I want to try that one.
Don't get me wrong. I think the elements of the Halloween party are phenomenal, right? I love the Halloween party. Yeah. What I don't love
the crowds.
Is what the thing I loved most about the Halloween party was you didn't feel like you were slammed in there.
It wasn't special. Is that what it feels like?
Now it just feels like, how can you enjoy any of those things when you've just paid $80 to $100 or $130
and it's hot and it's crowded, and
there are long lines for everything. What I used to love about the Halloween party is you can go hop on a ride and it was 5 minutes.
Sure.
10 minute wait.
I wonder if it's a double-edged sword that they're adding all these experiences. Not that I want them to add experiences, don't get me wrong, but I wonder if it's a little bit of a double-edged sword because by adding them, you're then attracting people to come back that are like locals or whatever, and then you're making it more crowded. Like, not, I mean,
like it's,
I don't want them
TV.
To stop.
Then they just limit tickets. Like,
they can limit tickets. Yeah. They can limit tickets. And I would be okay with them raising the price. Honest to God. I would be okay with them raising the price of it. I know some people would not. I would be okay with them raising the price of it if we were talking about a really limited 15,000, 20,000 max.
Like no bad parade spot, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
What was it we went to that was – it was like an after-hours thing and they gave free ice cream. Yeah. What was that?
Yeah. That was the – after hours events.
Okay, yeah, that was worth it. Like, that was, like, it was very limited. You got to ride anything. It was pretty much a walk-on.
But those go on for, like, it's like 3 hours after the park closes.
Yep. Yeah.
You pay $125, I think it is.
What are the numbers held to for those evenings? Do you know?
I don't know.
At one point, in the very beginning, it was $5,000. They maxed them out at $5,000. I don't know what that is now.
Okay.
And it's sad because because I did the Halloween party this past year, I think, at Disneyland, or maybe it was the year before, and it still was like that. It was very special. There was very few people there, and you could get on any of the rides you wanted to. Mm-hmm. So it was like, it can be done. Like, they're doing it in Disneyland. They're just not doing it here anymore.
And more of a planning tip, I assume that anybody watching the show knows this, but people who plan their trip and they plan their Magic Kingdom day on a day the Halloween party is happening, I cannot tell you the amount of people I see walking out pissed off.
Sad.
Because
sad.
They can't see the fireworks, they can't see this because, oh, there's a party tonight.
Yeah. Yep.
Like Disney, yeah. I don't know, it's just, we know that, but a lot of people just don't.
Yeah. Oh, no, you see it, boy.
Yeah.
Halloween
what do you mean
party
you're
nights?
Kicking me out?
Yeah.
What do you mean I need a wristband?
Go stand by guest relation window outside the turnstile.
Yep.
And you want to hear language at the Magic Kingdom on any party night.
They should be mad. Did you see the new floats that they're adding to Boo to You?
Yes,
new floats. I mean, these are like the things that you want to go to this party for.
Tomorrowland float.
Because
really cool
that
stuff.
Says Halloween.
I was like, I can't tell if you're being sarcastic.
I am glad. It is overdue for them to make some of these changes to the parade, to the fireworks. Yes. I'm really glad for that. But if they don't really rein in the number of people at these parties, it won't matter. But again, as long as they keep selling the tickets, they're going to keep doing what they do. So we'll see how it goes. All right, that's it for news. We're going to move on to rapid fire, and Sean, we'll turn it over to you.
Wow, we're 50 minutes in.
I know this was a.
And we started.
To say.
Okay. I haven't been in the chair in a few weeks, and my timing's off.
We started at like 1:10. So
okay. There we go.
So,
yeah, we started pretty late.
Yeah.
All right. The Descendant. Descendant, whatever.
Descendants
party coming to Disney Springs for a limited time this summer. The party will take place at the Marketplace stage for a limited time through August 11th, 2019. Guests can boogie. That's very limited. Guests can boogie their way to the dance floor, take pics at a couple of photo ops, and catch on-screen shout-outs from some of their favorite stars of the Descendants.
Yeah, let's
movies.
Dance around in 110 degree weather.
If you won't be at Walt Disney World to catch the limited run, don't worry. The Descendants party will take over the stage at Cosmic Rays Starlight Cafe as an added feature during the not so scary Halloween party that we just talked about. So if you missed it, you can do that. So that's a thing that's happening, and you can go down to Disney Springs, I guess, and catch that.
All right. Thank you, Sean. Steve?
Yes. So Darth Vader will once again be meeting guests at the Star Wars Launch Bay at Disney's Hollywood Studios beginning on August 29, 2019. He was replaced by Kylo Ren in February of 2016, but now he will be back. I think this is because Kylo Ren will be moving over to Galaxy's Edge, and Darth Vader doesn't really make sense in the timeline of Galaxy's Edge, so he'll be moving back, and Kylo Ren will be moving away.
Thank you for clearing that up.
People are excited about that he's coming back. So, mm-hmm.
Okay.
They are.
Maybe they should get out of the house once in a while. Thank you.
Perhaps.
Thank you, Steve. Denny.
So I wanted to highlight the 40,000 Simba and Nala plushes that have been created worldwide to be sold at Disney stores and also on shopdisney.com and in the theme parks. $19.95 gets you this very unique plush, which was really cute. Went over to the Animal Kingdom Lodge the other night and held one in my hands.
I have the Simba
one. Super cute. See? $19.95. And then $5 of your purchase price is donated to the Wildlife Conservation Network that then is funneled through the Disney Lion Recovery Fund project. They're trying to save 40,000 lions.
Oh.
And so they've made 40,000 plushes. And I think, Raina, you said that since The Lion King came out, the original, the population of lions has decreased by half.
Yeah.
So
there's only 20,000 left in the world, and they're extinct in 26 countries in Africa now.
Really?
Yeah. It's a little thing that they're like the bees. They're going, and nobody realized how quickly it was all happening. And so they're pretty desperate right now to try and help them. And so Animal Kingdom is doing a lot of stuff like that.
Y'all went to the media then for that, right?
Yes, I did. Yeah, I knew this. I had bought this plush when it first came out. I saw it and liked it, and then I saw that they were donating, and I was like, "Oh, even better! Now I have Now I feel better about myself."
Awesome. So they're trying to create a nice future for 40,000 lions. They want to really increase the population. So I think it's pretty cool. So you get a cool plush and you do something good at the same time.
Awesome. We should have played like the Sarah McLachlan song.
Yeah.
Oh.
The arms of the angels.
The sad. Puppy shelter song. I can't watch those commercials.
That got me to donate.
There you go.
All right. Thank you, Denny. Corey.
All right. Mine is so rapid. We'll be at D23, and we're offering free hugs. I think everyone.
Offering.
Everyone at this table, I think, will be there, right?
Most, I guess. I don't know.
Well, yeah. The majority of us will be there offering
free hugs. On the fence.
I'm on the fence.
Oh, so. I just realized, did you coordinate your mic with your shirt?
I did.
Yes.
I did.
Yes.
Look, I wear a pink. See, what's up? I sure did.
These are the important things.
Hashtag gay.
God. That's it. It's rapid.
Oh.
Let's get to our discussion.
That was very rapid.
All right. Thank you, Corey. Righto.
Okay. Mine is about food, as it always is. So Walt Disney World has shared some of their best bites for July 2019. There's some Lion King inspired things at Epcot. If you go over to the refreshment outpost, there's the Nigerian meat pie or the No Worries panna cotta with layers of raspberry, papaya, mango, panna cotta. Plus, for adults, the Savannah Smoothie, which is coconut milk, agave, and cream liqueur. And also at Epcot, at Le Cellier Steakhouse is once again serving its summer prefix menu through August 28th. You can get the full menu of what they're offering for that on our website, but the special menu is $55 per person plus tax and gratuity or two table service credits, but it includes an appetizer, a main course, and a dessert, which is pretty good for there. And then at Disney Springs, Deluxe Burger has a new vegan burger that I will have to stop by and try. That's a plant-based patty with cabbage and mushroom ragu, mango salsa. Nope, lost me. Lettuce, tomato, and pickle, and a vegan Parker House roll. Bunch of Boardwalk's got some interesting stuff at Seaside Sandwich. Flying Fish. There's a million things on this menu. I am not going to continue to read them. But there's a bunch more. If you want to go over to www.info.com, you can check out that article, which is the Walt Disney World shares some best bites for July 2019 article.
Thank you, Rhino. Gregory.
Just laughing because in chat someone just asked who the bald person was sitting next to Rhino. I'm pretty sure
Craig is a Craig is a huge fan of 80s music, and his favorite is Sinead O'Connor. Oh. So he, every year around this time, in honor of Sinead, he shaves his head.
Nothing compares,
nothing compares to her.
Or is it Britney Spears?
What's that?
Or is it Britney Spears?
He had both. That's a deep dive.
Leave Craig
going
alone.
Through a hard time, Craig.
Okay. Speaking of Corey's rapid fire, two things ago, if you're not showing up at the D23 Expo to see us, which obviously that would be reason number one, number two is that you could go and actually see a lot of the stuff that's being showcased there, and we now have more details about what's happening specifically with Disney Parks. Of course, the big one, as we've talked about before on the show, on Sunday, August 25th at 10:30, that's when Bob Chapek will have the big presentation where he'll talk about Epcot and Marvel and everything else happening. But beyond that, they also announced that the Disney Parks Imagining Tomorrow Today Pavilion will be on the expo floor that will also show more of the changes coming to Epcot. The Marvel area is being built in Hong Kong, Paris, and Disneyland Resort. Then, in terms of other panels, there will be stuff like Immersive Worlds, Bringing Stories to Life in Disney Parks, hosted by Disney Imagineers. We'll have Travels with Marty, A Conversation with the Sklars and Imagineers, for the legacy of Marty Sklar. Behind the Art of Disney Costuming, Heroes, Villains, and Spaces Between. Probably will not focus on people stealing costumes, but the costumes themselves. Inspiring Women Behind Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. Magic Journey, My Fantastical Walt Disney Imagineering Career with Kevin Rafferty, and Mark Davis, in his own words, Imagineering in Disney Theme Parks. So that's just a taste of what you will get out of Disney Parks if you're going to D23 Expo and you don't care about the movie and TV side of it all.
I personally find it, like, just for me personally, like, odd that they're doing a legacy of Marty Sklar, because we've met him, and it just seems like he was alive just last year, wasn't he?
Two years ago, he passed away.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
yeah,
I'm glad they're doing that.
So that's good. They should. All right, thank you, Craig. All right, before we wrap up, when I was thinking about topics for today's show, I actually had this idea when I first woke up this morning, and I figured let's just go with it. It's real simple. Why are you a Disney fan? Why?
This will be a two-hour show.
Could that in and of itself? I know. I'm really going to try and shoehorn this into 15 minutes, but let's start with you, Miss Denny.
Awesome.
Why are you a Disney fan?
Because my parents brought me to Walt Disney World when I was a kid, and I got to experience it as a child, and the magic and the wonder of it all. And then you talk about the generation, the next generation, bringing the younger generation, because as we age, we have kids, and we want our kids to feel the same way that we did when we were kids. And so bringing our kids has been amazing. And then eventually we got to the point where we said, we don't want to leave anymore. We don't want to have to get on the sad bus and go back to the airport and go back to life.
Bus.
The sad bus. That's what it is. And so we moved down here so that we could have adventures with our family that we couldn't have had in Maryland. We were having great ones in Maryland, but you get to check being an adult at the door in some regards when you come into a theme park. I mean, when I was working outside of, before I joined the Diz, I mean, that's my happy place. And so if I had a rough day or had a hard conversation or hard moment, I would go that evening and I could be in Epcot like that.
Yeah.
And so I was there. I use it as, you know, as a park, as a time out, a time away. My favorite foods are there. And I mean, don't you get to just walk in and be a kid again for a little bit, and it feels good?
I'm too bitter for that.
You know, but I think I understand that, because believe me, I do plenty of complaining while I'm there, like all these people and what are they doing, and you're stopping in the middle of the walkway, you're driving me nuts. But if you just stop and gear it down a little bit, it's so much fun just to be there and take it as it comes. I mean, when I have family who come down, that's when I rope drop. I don't rope drop unless I'm with my sister and her family. And so it's exciting to see it and experience it with others and just be a fan. It can be a lot of fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
Craig, what about you? Why are you a Disney fan?
I mean, it's just all I've grown up with. So I don't.
What is it? What is it that you respond to emotionally? Like, what is it? What's the emotional connection to it that makes you a fan?
Well, it's literally from being brainwashed as a kid. Like, yeah. I'm not trying to skirt around
that's exactly
it.
Exactly what I was going to say. Yeah,
I didn't have a choice. It was what I did watch other stuff besides Disney, but like, you know, Looney Tunes and Flintstones, Jetsons, all the classic cartoons, but it was put in front of me, and it was constantly streamed and not streamed a little early for that. It was constantly what was on my radar based on what my parents chose for me to watch, and I'm sure at some point it shifted and that was my choice of what I wanted to see. And I don't remember which show it was on, if it was this one or the Disneyland, but then I talked about where it started really coming in with the parks. For me, actually, it was even after I visited the parks, but it was the Disneyland Fun Disney Sing-Along VHS that was out that, like, you know, we didn't get the park VHS tapes that they send you until, I think, closer to, like, 96, 97. So I had this tape that was like, oh, I can see a Disney park every single day by sitting down and watching this. And then there's the music from the rides and other classic Disney songs that I know. And that was like what started fueling it even more. And
am I the only one in the room who did not come to Disney as a kid?
Oh, wow.
I hear crickets.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So it was there. And I mean, and then it's the little things that held me is that I love the inventiveness of the attractions. I love the music. That's probably more than anything else. It's the connection to the area music, the music used in soundtracks. Like that's ultimately, I think, what captures me the most. And, you know, it's just, it's fun.
See, I grew up in this, you know, I was born in 64, so grew up in the 70s as a kid. And, you know, that was not a golden age for Disney. I mean, we had Bedknobs and Broomsticks. I remember that.
Love Bedknobs.
Yeah.
But I remember them, like, I remember watching that in our school auditorium. There was like a special half day, and they, you know, we watched Bedknobs and Broomsticks in the school auditorium. But I didn't have any connection with Disney in that regard, except my friend who his family took him to Disney World every summer. He came back and tell me all the stories about the theme parks. And that, so the movies, you know, meh. The theme parks, I always wanted to. And I always said when I got old enough, I was going to go myself. And it wasn't that my parents didn't want to go, couldn't afford it. Could not afford it. So, you know, I really should have been put in foster care for that. No kidding. She's probably watching. Oh, I'm kidding. But, you know, so I was not indoctrinated. My first time walking into a Disney park, I think I was 25, 26 years old. God almighty, it's been almost 30 years.
But did you feel like a kid when you walked in?
No, I mean, it wasn't that I felt like a kid. I walked into Epcot and said, okay, this is what I did drugs to feel like. Everything's perfect here. Everybody's happy. And that's why I drank and did drugs, was because I wanted to feel that way. And, you know, and that just, like, became my thing. And then just the creativity and the imagination that went into the attractions. Just, you know, when you're a kid in New Jersey and you're only experience with theme parks is Six Flags. Six Flags Great Adventure. That was my only experience as a kid. And then you go to Disney World, like, oh my God, because you've never seen anything like that. So, no, my head exploded. And I'll never forget that first time. And then every moment from that point forward, Disney was the central focus of my life. How was I getting here? How long could I stay? How often could I come? Eventually moving here, starting the site, starting Dreams Unlimited, starting the show. Everything that has happened in my life, every significant thing that has happened in my life came from walking into Epcot and getting that feeling almost 30 years ago. God almighty. Really?
just yesterday.
No, it's about 28 years ago.
Yeah.
So, Rhino, what about you?
It's a little bit of like what Craig said, only I wouldn't quite say brainwashed, but it does start when at the young age, and they use the melodic tunes to lure you in. And I mean, there's a video of me, and I have it. I just found it when I was just home for Christmas, that on my computer too, and no one will ever see it, of me singing in my diaper, singing Jolly Holiday and making my brother be Mary Poppins, and then like,
oh, we have to have this.
Yeah. And like, you know,
that needs to be an auction item. Raise a certain amount of money and Rhino will release the video. Raise another amount of money and Rhino will recreate.
Oh, we'll see if
we can dance around singing Jolly Holiday in a diaper.
We'll get my brother down here, the electrician. I'm sure he'll be thrilled about it. But it started with that. And, you know, my great grandmother lived in Florida, who, I mean, she passed away in 2007, but so we were lucky to come down and visit Nana all the time and go to the parks and stuff. And then it was one of those things where I don't feel like it's like hasn't genuinely become accepted in society until like the last 15 years or so, about people's minds working differently from each other. You know, it was very like, you, creativity was not embraced in the same spectrum that it is now when I was little. And so it was a place where, you know, imagination was only for children, not for adults. You know, you only imagine these things. And, you know, I saw it as growing up, you know, liking the things I liked for as long. You know, there was this little period of time where I was like, people were like, I don't understand. Why do you like that? And you'd be like, I just like it. And it would, you know, but then I'm an adult and I'm like, I don't care what you say. I'll like whatever I want to say. Like, and we've kind of turned the table on that. And so it was one of the first places I ever remember, like, where my imagination actually came to life. You know, I'd singing Jolly Holiday with my brother. I'd reenact scenes from the Ewok movies because I had never seen Star Wars until I was a little bit older. I'd grew up with Ewok movies, and I used to make all the kids at daycare reenact the scenes with me. And then I come to a place, now I'm, you know, 34 years old, and I just walked onto a planet from the Star Wars universe. You know, like, I can't...
Are you 34?
Yeah, I am 34. Yeah, I was born in 1985, and the year of Back to the Future. And but
it's a very good year.
I think to myself, like, it's a place where you can visualize something here and, you know, and feel it here, but this is the embodiment of those two things together. Mm-hmm. And there are places that, you know, Universal has really blown it out of the park with the Harry Potter and the theming they do. But, you know, there is no denying Disney was the first place to create a playground of wonderment and imagination. Yes. And I think, you know, I don't really want to say for kids, and I don't want to even say like, oh, it makes me feel like a kid. It validates that childlike wonder within you and says it's okay to still feel that wonder, whether you're 34, 85, you know, whatever age you are, that you can still have that pure ball of joy. Yeah. You know,
Sean,
I always started as a, like, with the movies. We didn't get to, I didn't start in the parks necessarily, but you know, I remember very early memories of, like, I saw Snow White with my dad once whenever my mom took my brother to, like, a hayride with church and I was too small. And I can remember seeing Mulan in the theaters. That's the first, like, movie I can ever remember going to watch. So I always just loved that about it, and, like, loved the Disney movies. And I think I just liked them. I'm not a very emotional person, but I loved the symbols of hope and stuff in it, and the, like, there's a person, no matter what, it's like, whether it's like Anna and Elsa that are, like, already, like, royalty and rich, or if it's somebody like Cinderella or Aladdin who starts out with nothing, like, just getting to see that journey of that person and them having some goal or some dream and seeing someone achieve that, even if it's, like, magical and unrealistic a lot of the time, but they are just getting to see them work very, very diligently and very hard and, like, do the things that they have to do to make it to where they want to be. And so that just always translated well for me of, like, if I want to do something different than what my life is, like, I can't, obviously I don't have, like, fairy godmothers or, like, genies or anything, but I can make the best thing that I can make to give myself the best shots and opportunities that I can. And so I just feel like that gave me that drive, I guess. It gave me drive in life.
There's also a lot of, I think one of the things that appeals to me is a lot of stories of redemption.
Right.
You know, and I think that resonates with me a lot.
Which is like, I think that's one of the best things about it, is like, because of your history, like, redemption is something that's like inspiring and stuff to you, and because of my history, like, becoming something that you want to be is like my, you know, mine's not a redemption story, it's a like, how do I build up story, you know, that kind of thing. So that it, like, that drive and that motivation, so people can see the same movie and get different, completely feelings and emotions out of it. And I think Disney does a great job reflecting, like, you know, helping you as a person see, like, what it is that you're wanting out of the movie and out of life and everything like that, and giving you that catapult to go do that, whether it's redemption or whether it's drive.
Yeah. See, one of the things, one of the reasons I think a discussion like this is important is we can go on and on about the price of the Halloween party and how crowded it is and this, that, and the other thing. But I think it's important to, like, every so often kind of get grounded in why we're here. You know? Because it is easy when we do this for a living, we go into a bubble, and it is easy to start picking apart the negative. But it's important to remember why we're here in the first place, because you can choose to look at that too. So what about you?
I personally
moved here to be closer to Fun Spot.
I think that
it's, I'm so close
as many
now.
Do.
It's
huge. I'm sure that's
huge. But no, I'm gonna use Craig's word too, because that's kind of it's reality that I was brainwashed, and I'm a little different. And I watched the movies, but that wasn't necessarily why I love Disney. I'm theme parks. Julie, she's movies. If we did Disney trivia and she's on my team, she's going to answer everything. If we do theme park trivia, I got it. But I'm more theme parks. We used to skip Mardi Gras and come to Disney World. So I was born and raised in the theme parks every year. People flood into New Orleans. They go to Mardi Gras. We're out of here. We're going to Disney World. And I think it was not necessarily that my reality was terrible, but it's escape from reality. And so when I did the college program, just a little taste of the summer in 1997, and came back summer 1998, and I was like, all right, this is where I'm going to live. I'm going to go work for Disney. I'm going to do something with Disney, whether I do graphic design or animate or something. I'm going to find my way in. And so here I am. And my reality is great. And it is escape from reality. Even though we're so consumed, doing this for 18 years, so consumed into every detail of, got to get that photo of the menu, got to get that. It's still escape from reality, even though it is my reality. You know what I'm saying? But it's hard to explain.
Look, you know, I have to remind myself of it all the time that for as frustrating as this job can be sometimes, I have the best gig in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, honestly, I have to pinch myself that this is what I get to do. I get to be creative, and I get to be creative around Disney, and I get to create things.
Because there are 2,000 friends right now watching us who would give anything to be in those shoes.
That's absolutely right. Absolutely right. Steve, what about you? Oh, I'm sorry, we're out of time.
Good talk.
My story is a little bit like, I had the same VHS that Craig had. The sing-along video was super important, and I grew up on Disney movies, and I think that was all good, and we came to Disney, and that was all good. But I actually can pinpoint the trip that I think changed everything for me was at my school, we had a week after you finish high school, your senior year, before your classes are done, but before graduation. And I had my three best friends came down with me. I convinced them all to come. And I was in charge of planning everything as a high school kid.
Wow.
And none of the parents were coming. We were all coming by ourselves. So it was our first trip, you know, where we got to feel like adults. And I remember landing in MCO and looking around and it just being the four of us. And kind of opposite from most people's story about Disney is that it wasn't a coming to feel like a kid. It was my first time coming and feeling like I was an adult. I got to experience something in the safety of Disney, so my parents knew I was safe. But at the same time, I was experiencing something, planning a trip, flying here by myself, staying in a hotel without parents, and then that, you know, having that feeling and loving that so much that then having to decide, okay, I'm doing the college program, because that was my favorite week I've ever experienced. And I think I wouldn't have done the college program if it had not been for that trip, because I wanted, it was feeding off of that. So that feeling of, wow, I'm like an adult now. And I only got to experience that really for the first time at Disney as a senior in high school. And then doing the college program is just, you know, blew that out of the water. And then the rest is kind of history from there.
So cool.
It's amazing, right?
Yeah.
Amazing. And then, you know, you think about just the myriad different paths everybody in this room took.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we all ended up here.
From movies to theme parks to...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's kind of crazy, especially, you know... I've got the visual now of Rhino with a diaper singing Jolly Holiday.
It was a 2x4 was my broom.
Oh.
My broom, my umbrella.
Okay. I also have a video like that.
Did it have nails sticking out of it?
Oh my gosh.
We improvised in my house growing up.
I have a similar video of myself in a diaper, but it was Jungle Book was mine. So that is a video somewhere.
Okay.
So. All right, we need to see these videos.
I heard that Rhino will try to show off this during the annual pass holder previews of Star Wars Galaxy's Edge being held August 17th to the 21st.
Wow. Oh,
whoa.
Did they just say that?
Breaking news. Annual pass holder preview.
I'm checking my
Only email. For Platinum, Platinum Plus, or Premier pass holders.
Okay. Log
for those of you who stuck around to the end.
You know what, Jackie?
You got to hear.
Jackie, are you watching?
She's driving.
Oh, she's
right
driving.
Now.
Tom?
She's driving.
Yeah, really.
Tom Bell.
One of my content people.
Yeah.
All right. So, folks, that's going to do it for this week's show. We hope you enjoyed it. And we will be back. It's really been great to be back. I've missed sitting here. We'll be back with you again next week with another episode of the Diz Unplugged. Have a great week, folks. And remember, do I have closing music? Thank you.
There
Stay out of the damn lakes.
Thanks for having my guest.